It's time for overtime.
Ready for this?
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Now to Giannis. Giannis with 50 and two of his last three now. Pulls up. 15-footer. Yes, sir!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime. Now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome back. It's hour number two on this Thursday edition of Overtime. Final segment of the week. We got a long weekend built in here at ESPN Sioux Falls. We're back with you on Tuesday of what is the pre-NFL week one week of the show. Very excited to talk to you then. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week. Opportunities to win and win big. And we got one around the corner. Not going to tell you about our new sponsor just yet, but Burt's Bank is back and with a great sponsor, which means you could win on Fridays even more throughout the season. College and pro football. Yours truly going to make some bankable picks. And again, not gambling advice, just good old-fashioned fun with Burt's Bank, but a great sponsor on board with Burt's Bank throughout the season. Love about the sponsor that's on the way, and we'll introduce you to said sponsor right around the corner, Fridays, Burt's Bank, and we'll do it on Thursday this week because we got a lot of big football games coming as soon as tonight as well. We'll also get some real gambling advice, best bets with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports to round out the show. Before we get to Burt's Bank and best bets, latest from the NFL and a season preview for the final team we'll talk about preseason, the Minnesota Vikings. Are they good? Yes. Can they be great? Sure. Will they be? I'm not so certain, but we'll attack that over under 9.5 wins at Vegas Insider where they stand right now. The juice is on the side. The positive juice, aka the least likely outcome, is on the over. I saw it this morning. I think it was plus 115 over 9.5 wins for the Minnesota Vikings. So Vegas, you read into the tea leaves there. They're thinking about 8-9 wins for Minnesota fair as of today. Let's get into the scorecard. Before we go there, though, wanted to give you a little housekeeping announcement around ESPN Sioux Falls. Next week, first of the month is Monday, holiday. Tuesday, we're going to welcome Rich Eisen back to ESPN Radio. His show is going to be 11 to 2. We're 11 to 1, so we'll be on the air in lieu of Rich Eisen from 11 to 12 and 12 to 1. But we will be carrying a final hour of Rich Eisen from 1 to 2 every single day. So fired up about that. And one other change just to take note of, we're going to go back to just 2 breaks an hour. So more content on the way, little beefier breaks, but we can't wait for the change. That'll start on Tuesday. Rich Eisen back in the saddle and a welcome addition once again to ESPN and the ESPN radio lineup. Rich Eisen show will join us on Tuesday, September the 2nd. Let's get going on your scorecard now. In Major League Baseball last night, Cleveland beat Tampa in extras 4-3. They're now 66-66. Twins got close. The long ball was there, but not enough for Minnesota yesterday in a very close loss in the rubber match in Toronto.
The 1-1. Swung on and hit well for Keyshaw, left field. Fairly deep. Schneider going back. Varsho's back. That ball is gone. Luke Keyshaw snuck it into the second row. Keyshaw goes deep for the second time in the series, and his fourth round tripper in the big leagues gives the Twins a 3-1 lead.
There's been some positives lately for Minnesota. The scorecards lately have not been in their favor. They're 60-73, but Rocco Baldelli says, I'm happy with how we're playing despite the fact that we're not winning as many as we should.
I even went in the locker room just now and told all of our guys for about 10-15 seconds. It wasn't a talk, but I said, we can be upset that we lost the game. Absolutely. We should not be upset with the way we played. That was incredibly impressive. That was fast-paced. That was great at-bats. The base running was awesome. I think we didn't just have them on their heels. I think we had them kind of shrugging, like wondering what they were going to do to stop our guys on the bases. And I couldn't get enough of it. I loved it.
And that's Twins manager Rocco Baldelli. You talk about a coaching statement there. I don't care what the result is. Just give me your best effort 24-7. We'll be good. Minnesota working through this very frustrating a little bit disappointing season on the field. Of course, the front office trading away a lot of players doesn't inspire confidence, but credit to the Twins for keep swinging the bat and competing like they did yesterday. 9-8, the latest loss in Toronto. New record is 60-73. Other finals, Arizona hands Milwaukee a home loss 3-2. Brewers are 83-51, and they are, seven games up on the Cubbies, who also lost yesterday 12-3 in San Francisco. Other finals in the AL Central and beyond, Kansas City over Chicago 12-1, Houston over Colorado 4-0, and Detroit blanked on the road in West Sacramento against the A's 7-0. Tigers still up big in the division, all told nine games better than Kansas City with a record of 78-57. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, very light slate. In 1 hour, we'll see the D-backs and Brewers get going from Milwaukee. Same time for the Rockies and Astros. Pirates at Cardinals 1:15, Cubs at Giants 2:45, Yankees at the White Sox get going from the south side of Chicago, a 6:40 start time. Micah Parsons, that situation, dumpster fire, negotiation or lack thereof down in Dallas. Will it be resolved soon? Here's Dan Graziano's response this morning on ESPN Radio.
Are we getting any closer to a resolution between he and Jerry Jones?
I think so. I think actually the next couple of days could be pretty big. It feels like, you know, as a reporter, sometimes you like, you just sort of get a sense when a story has changed a little. Maybe people are giving you different kinds of answers. Maybe they're not texting you back when they always do, you know, that kind of thing. So I feel like last night we kind of felt like something had changed a little and this was getting close to a resolution. What that resolution is, I don't think anybody knows.
Dan Graziano going there at the end. Pay attention to that last line. What the resolution is, I don't think anyone really knows. There were some really weird, obscure accounts out there putting out some, frankly, garbage rumor a couple days ago that the Green Bay Packers had reached out, made a trade offer for Micah Parsons and the Cowboys. Then we got a little bit more steam. Packer fans and personalities started to retweet saying, you know, I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that, here we go. We'll see. Brian Gutekunst spoke yesterday and did not dismiss interest, but he did say if there's anybody out there that'll help the Green Bay Packers, we're going to look and take a long look at said player. You feel like that has a lot of juice. The Packers have probably, likely made an offer or made an overture of an offer of interest to Jerry Jones. What that offer is, we don't know. The speculation out there, two first round picks, a second rounder and a fifth, which to me feels like a bargain for one of the best defensive players in the league. And for Courtney Cronin, who covers the rival Chicago Bears, she's scared of what the Packers could become if this trade that used to be a pipe dream and might be more pie in the sky now could become.
If you add the premier pass rusher in the NFL right now, you instantly become the top of the list Super Bowl contender. I know we were talking about Mike T's list yesterday and who can actually dethrone the Philadelphia Eagles. Would the Eagles be in that mix even? I think above the Eagles. If this happens to the Green Bay Packers, they are instantly the representative coming out of the NFC that you expect to be in the Super Bowl.
I love that. I love being fluffed up like that, but let's just pump the brakes, frankly, with the Green Bay Packers. Would they join the Lions and the Eagles as favorites in the NFC? Sure. But are they immediately the front of the line favorite? No, I don't think so. Are they inserted into the Super Bowl contender conversation firmly? Yes, they would be. Micah Parsons would be a massive upgrade for Green Bay. That would be the best pass rush tandem, assuming Rashawn Gary doesn't go back to Dallas in the trade. That would be the best pass rush tandem Green Bay Packers have had in a very long time. Much better even than the Smith brothers just a few years ago, Za'Darius and Preston. But there's a lot of buts here in this deal. What would you give up for Micah Parsons? I'm so glad you asked because there is a lot that I would. I would send Lucas Van Ness down to Dallas, two first round picks, a second rounder, a fifth rounder. That would make a ton of sense. Or maybe there's another position. Maybe the Cowboys want the offensive lineman, Rashid Walker, who might be losing his left tackle job to second year player Jordan Morgan. I don't know what exactly could be included in the trade, if there's players involved or if there's picks, but I'm going to say it like I did again yesterday. I don't care if the Packers give up two first round picks. I don't care if they give up three first round picks and they get maybe a second rounder back or something of that nature. This is my point here. First round picks are just that. They're picks. They're prospects. They're what could be. Even if they're in the top 10, top five, you draft the best pass rusher in a class. You do not know what that player is, who they are, who they could be in the NFL. Micah Parsons is a known commodity, one of the best defensive players, one of, if not the best pass rusher in the game right now. Known commodity. Would you give up two late round first picks for that? Heck yes, you would. Would you give up three? Worth considering, depending upon the other factors. Maybe it's a possible conditional first rounder that falls down to a second or third. But I'm open to this because the iron is hot in Green Bay. The team is good enough to make the playoffs. Now the team, if they get Micah Parsons, you could argue is good enough to compete for an NFC championship victory and make the big game again. And who knows from there? Yes, you absolutely make the trade if you're Goody, because the Packers have the youngest roster in the NFL again this year. Wow, that's awesome. Ring the bell. We'll see what they can accomplish. But if you get Micah Parsons, you give up picks, your team will get older, that window will get wider, and the opportunity to win the big game suddenly becomes a little bit more. You put on your bifocals, if you will, and you can start to read a little bit better about what the Packers can be. So yeah, I'm not concerned at all about the price tag. It will be steep. People will say they got fleeced, but they're getting one of the best young defensive players in the NFL if it goes through. Dustin Baker asked me off air, where do you stand on that percentage-wise? Are you 30%? And I said, no, I'm probably closer to 10%. And I was at 1%, 5% earlier this week. But with the national media getting some steam, the real substantive nature of these rumors coming to fruition, and Jerry Jones reportedly listening to the Green Bay Packers offer, that to me gives me a little confidence. 10% still, I think the Cowboys would be foolish to get rid of him. But that's where I stand right now on a possible trade for the Green Bay Packers acquiring Micah Parsons. Lastly, rounding out your NFL scorecard here, Friday's opener. Thursday, you'll see Cowboys and Eagles next Thursday night, 7:20 on NBC. Chiefs and Chargers Friday, 7 o'clock on YouTube. Titans at Broncos Sunday afternoon, 3:05. Lions at Packers Sunday afternoon, 3:25. Vikings at Bears, not next Monday, but the Monday after, 7:15 on ABC and ESPN. Sioux Falls Cougar football opening year number 105 tonight, when the Cougars have traveled west to face in-state foe Black Hills State. Kickoff set for 6 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Central at Lyle-Hare Stadium out in Spearfish. The matchup marks the first of a two-game series between the two programs. Historically, Sioux Falls is pretty decent in season openers, 44-54-6. And last year, they had the big statement win. If you recall, they played up to FCS D1 St. Thomas. 34-13 was the win for USF, and you begun to take the team seriously immediately last year. Black Hills State, the opponent tonight, 7 o'clock start time. Best of luck to Coach Glow, Cam Dean, and as well as Garrett Hoffman, who is here in the studio, and all the Cougars out west to take care of the Yellow Jackets tonight. Thursday night start time of 7 o'clock out there in Spearfish. The new era of Jackrabbit football opens on Saturday night. The Jackrabbits kick off the season by hosting Sacramento State. Something with all the bees around here. The Yellow Jackets, the Hornets of Sac State coming to town. They'll face off in a matchup between nationally ranked squads Saturday night at 6 o'clock at Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium. Game will be televised on Midco Sports and ESPN Plus if you can't make it out. And Saturday's game will be the first of for the Jackrabbits under new head coach Dan Jackson. SDSU, which is ranked third in both the stats per form and the preseason coaches poll, coming off a 2024 season in which they finished 12-3 and advanced to the semifinals of the FCS playoffs. Sac State also under new leadership as Brennan Marion takes over his head coaching debut. They were 3-9 a year ago. Hornets ranked 14th by the FCS coaches. And we know it well. We say it with a joke here in South Dakota because of the blatant disrespect for the FCS level of college football. Sac State's a really damn good program. They're flirting with going to the FBS. They don't have a dance partner yet, but they got the coffers, they got the alumni, they got the experience, and they're ready to roll. This is a good program coming here Saturday night, 6 o'clock start time from Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium up in Brookings. More football news. Two-time reigning NSIC champion, 23rd rated Augustana, begins their NSIC title defense on Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock start time, as the Missouri Western Griffins come to town. Complete action can be followed on GoAugie.com/live. You can also listen to Jeff Filling on the call down the hall here at Results Radio 100.1 FM KXRB. For you Augie fans, I would go ahead and save that in your vehicle. 100.1 FM KXRB is your home for Viking football this fall. Jeff Filling on the call, a 1 o'clock start time against the Griffins. They entered the season, finished last season 4-7, several close losses. We'll see how it shakes out. Season opener, Kirkby Over Stadium, 1 o'clock. GoAugie.com for more information. And yeah, Yote fans, I'm getting to you. The fourth-rated USD football team opens up the campaign under their first-year head coach, Travis Johansson, with a trip to Ames, Iowa on national TV for a clash with the 22nd-ranked Iowa State Cyclones and head coach Matt Campbell. Kickoff is slated for a 2:30 start time on Fox. Tim Brando, Devin Gardner, Josh Sims on the call. I would encourage you to tune in to the Coyote Sports Network from Learfield as well. Download the Varsity Network app. Their coverage will begin at 1:30 with pregame. South Dakota embarking on year number 130. And this could be one of the biggest years of USD football we've ever seen. The trajectory is awesome. They got several big playmakers back. They had the coaching change, but a lot of continuity at USD. And you feel like this is a massive game. Is it winnable? Yes. Is it likely? No. It never is likely to beat an FBS team when you're playing up. But as we heard from Coach Johansson earlier this week, we just don't think about playing up. It's the same thing as every other week. We go out there to compete and win the football game. And that's what we'll see for USD. Best of luck, best effort out there in display at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames, Iowa, Saturday, 2:30. TV coverage on Fox. Radio friends, John Thayer on the call on the Coyote Sports Network from Learfield. Volleyball talk here. South Dakota State garnered 6 first-place votes in the Summit League preseason volleyball poll released on Tuesday. Jackrabbits number 1, USD number 2. Yotes got 3 first-place votes. They're followed in the poll by St. Thomas, Omaha, Denver, North Dakota State, North Dakota, Kansas City, and Oral Roberts. More on that, the Jacks and the Yotes. Go Jacks, go Yotes.com. And let's round out and finish up your ReliaBank headlines of the day with this. As always, for a better local banking option, you can check them out online at ReliaBank.com or in person right here in Sioux Falls. Joe Voss's solo home run in the 5th inning was the 123rd long ball hit by the Canaries this season last night, breaking the franchise record set in 2010 as Sioux Falls fell to Sioux City 9-4 at Lewis and Clark Park. With the win, the Explorers clinched the West Division Championship and will get to select their first round playoff opponent. Canaries now dip to 54-41 on the season. Still a playoff team. They wrap up their series coming up tonight. That's a 7:05 start time from down the road in Sioux City. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number 2. When we come back, we know, you know, we've got an NFL dedicated segment for you. NFL latest coming around the corner, a season preview. I'm going to do my best non-anti-homer, aka non-hater take of the Minnesota Vikings season coming up here soon. We preview the season for the purple and gold, latest from the NFL, everything in between, and a sudden surge of Iowa linebackers signed by the Green Bay Packers. We'll dive into that news coming up around the corner right here on this Thursday edition of Overtime on ESPN Sioux Falls.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Moving right along on this Thursday edition of Overtime. Thanks so much for tuning us in. As always, on your Sioux Falls sports leader, ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Latest news from the NFL. We start in Titletown, where according to Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated, the Green Bay Packers have signed linebacker Nick Neiman. That is a familiar name. Former Iowa Hawkeye will fill out the linebacker room on the active roster. The Green Bay Packers also earlier this week said so long to an Iowa Hawkeye linebacker by the name of Christian Welch, only to bring him back to the practice squad. Both of those guys are primarily special teamers, but Green Bay's had quite a history with Iowa linebackers. Of course, certainly lately, these two could be big playmakers. And Nick Neiman was a pretty big name a couple years ago with the Chargers and then recently with the Texans. He gets cut. The Packers scoop him up. And in a corresponding move, I don't love it, being honest with you. Green Bay carried 11 defensive backs on the initial 53-man roster, and they let go of rookie seventh-round pick Micah Robinson in a corresponding move. We'll see if Robinson can find his way back to Green Bay on the practice squad. Little sad there for the elation of the young man and his family to say, that's right, seventh-round pick, I made the roster, can't wait to call my mom and dad, and the next day they give your job away. Packers right now with five inside linebackers on their 53-man roster. And they also go down to 10 total defensive backs as of yesterday. By the way, more troubling news in Green Bay. Paraphrasing off the top of my head here, but Jaden Reed, receiver, Michigan State alum, who's been battling a foot injury, notably had a boot on a few weeks ago. I don't love this news, to tell you Packer fans out there. Jaden Reed is reportedly dealing with a Jones fracture in his foot. I'm not a doctor, but what they surmise that to be is a fracture right around the fifth metatarsal. That's going to be your pinky toe. Apparently pretty painful. You can play through it, and that is what Jaden Reed will do. Matt LaFleur was asked this morning about his status as well as the status of Nate Hobbs, the corner. I would like to think that they possibly could play week one. Paraphrasing, of course, there for Matt LaFleur. That's the latest, though. Jaden Reed dealing with a troublesome fracture that sometimes does require surgery and rest. It might just be one of those kind of years for Jaden Reed in Green Bay. The San Francisco 49ers remain unsure whether wide receiver Juwan Jennings will play week one. That's according to general manager John Lynch. And he was certain of one thing yesterday, that the team has no desire to honor a trade request. According to Lynch, Jennings requested a trade, quote, a while ago, though the Niners did not grant that request and have no intention of doing so. He asked for it and we've moved on. We're not doing that. So we're moving forward. Jennings entering the final year of a two-year contract extension signed in 2024, scheduled to count roughly $4.25 million against this year's salary cap. And make no mistake about it, he is underpaid. Especially, I don't necessarily think Juwan Jennings has done a ton in his career to inspire a double-digit million-dollar contract or contract extension. But I will tell you, honestly, Juwan Jennings is the wide receiver number one there in San Francisco early part of the season until they get Brandon Ayuk back. Juwan Jennings is that guy. Going to be underpaid as a wide receiver one, just $4.25 million. Salary cap hit, more than $8 million in dead money remaining from lingering void seasons. Well, the Patriots have given the Cutlets a chance, bolstered their quarterback depth chart by claiming former Giants fan favorite Tommy DeVito yesterday to make room for the quarterback. The Patriots released a veteran wide receiver and an interesting name in Kendrick Bourne. The guy was okay out in San Francisco, and if you recall, got paid a bucket of money to join the Patriots and got paid a bucket of money via an extension a couple of years ago. Now the Patriots have been in market for a number three quarterback since releasing UDFA QB Ben Wooldridge on Friday, and are back in action with getting Tommy DeVito in the house there. And certainly I feel like Kendrick Bourne going to see an opportunity somewhere in the NFL soon, but got paid a lot of money for not a lot of production out there for whatever reason in Foxborough. Jaguars receiver, cornerback, do-it-all rookie Travis Hunter is reportedly healthy and will play in the season opener against Carolina on September 7th. That's according to new general manager James Gladstone. Hunter has been dealing with an upper body injury since mid-August, did not play in the final two preseason games, and has only participated in the individual portions of practice. But Gladstone saying he's on the grass today and rolling full speed. Jaguars will need Travis Hunter both sides of the football. Whether or not that's wise certainly is obvious. I don't think it's wise to have your rookie out there. You need him on one side of the ball. You put him on two and suddenly you might have him for none. We'll see what the Jaguars end up doing with Travis Hunter this year. But that's your latest news of the day from the National Football League. And now, the moment you've been waiting for, Minnesota Vikings preview, our final team of all 32 to preview for the 2025 season. Last year, very different team, same coach, same nuts and bolts, but a lot of turnover this year. Last year, the Vikings were 14-3, good enough for second in the NFC North. This year is year number four under head coach Kevin O'Connell. The coach's record in 3 years is 34-17. Pretty darn good. Postseason record is 0-2. Additions to the roster. They spent a lot of money. They got Jordan Mason via trade. Brought in Will Fries, Ryan Kelly, Javon Hargrave, Jonathan Allen. That was the big four in free agency. Also added cornerback Isaiah Rogers, linebacker Eric Wilson, and veteran corner Jeff Okuda. The departures, quarterback Sam Darnold, quarterback Sam Howell, free safety Cam Bynum, quarterback Daniel Jones, left tackle Cam Robinson, edge rusher Patrick Jones, and center Garrett Bradbury, which, yeah, I know, that might not be much of a loss for you Viking fans out there. The ranks last year, Vikings were seemingly elite offensively, but what do the numbers say, really? They were 12th in yards and 9th in points on offense. They were better on defense, 16th in yards, but they really got tough around the red zone, surrendering the 5th fewest points per game. Defensively, they were great at valuing the football, beat up on my Packers 2 times in doing so. They were plus 12 in turnover margin. That is tied for 3rd best in the National Football League. The Vikings have the tied for the 5th hardest schedule in the NFL this year. Divisional outlook, it is the toughest division, debatable, but the toughest division in the NFL. You feel like the floor of the division is the Chicago Bears. The doormat, if you will, is made out of bear hide in the NFC North. But that team could still win 6, 7, 8, 9 games, and it would not surprise me in Chicago. They are a good, bad team this year. The Vikings could be a good, good team. Possible fringe playoff team is what I've got them penned in as right now. Over under win total at DraftKings Sportsbook and Vegas Insider this morning is at 9.5. And I know you want to say over, hammer the over, Bert. I can't do that. I got to fade the Vikings, don't I? I'm going to do that. I'm going to say under 9 wins feels right. And that would be a massive win with a rookie quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. There's not a whole lot of holes on the roster. Cornerback looks like one to me. Linebacker looks like a weaker area to me. If I'm a scouting team looking at the Minnesota Vikings, there's a couple concerns here. Like the team, like the recipe, but need some more time to cook, a.k.a. more experience for J.J. McCarthy. I'm fading them just a bit under to 8 or 9 wins. I'm going to go 9-8 for the Minnesota Vikings. Earlier this offseason, I said 8-9 on schedule release day. So I'm optimistic, more optimistic than I was on the Minnesota Vikings. That's your season preview for the purple and gold. We take the break and introduce you to a great new sponsor on the show coming up next. Burt's Bank is back. Bankable picks from college and pro football every single Friday. We're off tomorrow, so we're scooting it up to a Thursday edition of Overtime. Burt's Bank is back and a chance to win some tasty treats coming up next on Overtime.
Stream us online. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Thursday, August 28th edition of Overtime. Anytime I have good news, it will not take me long to get it to you. I gave you the bad news of the day. That is a sprained ankle for yours truly as of yesterday in training for the upcoming Sioux Falls Marathon 5K. Stepped on a little piece of a twig yesterday, sprained the old ankle, thought we may have a break situation. All good. X-rays, negative. Bert, positive. And questionable, frankly, for the upcoming 5K. Probably not wise to run it, but I'm not ruling myself out. As a buddy said, Jerry P. said, Favre would play. Maybe Bert will play coming up for the Sioux Falls Marathon 5K. We'll wait and see. But thoughts and prayers appreciated for Bert's swollen ankle. Bert's Bank is back. We got a great new sponsor. Can't wait to tell you all about it. Let's meet the picks and give you the goods with Bert's Bank right now on this Thursday edition of Overtime.
There may not be much in there.
Where's all the money?
That's as good as money, sir. Those are IOUs. Go ahead and add it up. Every cent's accounted for.
In fact, there's probably less than last week.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
But it's Friday, and maybe against our better judgment, it is time to open Burt's Bank.
It ain't Friday, but it's time to make some bold picks for the weekend, baby. We got college football back tonight. Arrowhead Stadium for the Huskers and Bearcats. Spearfish, Lyle Hare Stadium, the host for Black Hills State and USF Cougar football. Gophers are in action, but I'm dipping my toe into Saturday's slate 3 times over. Burt's Bank is newly brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs, a sub above, and we got some Jersey Mikes to give away right now on the show. But let's meet our picks of the day first for Burt's Bank. Typically on Fridays for some Jersey Mike's giveaways. You're on your lunch break. You're hungry. You want to go to a great place. Check out Jersey Mike's. They got three Sioux Falls locations. One on the east side. That address, Highline Place in Sioux Falls. South side off of Lindcrest and then Louise Avenue. It's nearly a John Elway throw of a football up the road here from the studio. You can always win with Jersey Mike's. And in case you would like to hook your boy Burt up, you're getting two medium subs on us, regular size subs at Jersey Mike's. In case you were wondering, number 9, Mike's Way on wheat with some banana peppers. Thanks so much for that. That's my go-to at Jersey Mike's. Burt's Bank on a Thursday instead of a Friday. Texas and Ohio State colliding in Columbus. I am a noted, certified, legendary Buckeye hater. And frankly, they did my boy Lincoln Kienholz wrong there. They're starting Julian Sayin. Nerves are in play here. He's got even less experience than Arch Manning does and a worse roster than Texas. Steve Sarkisian has those boys playing hard, ready to rumble, and I think Texas wins this game outright. So give me the Longhorns plus 1.5. Game number 2 for Burt's Bank, LSU and Clemson. With a P, not Clemson, Clemson, as they say in the South. Clemson is at home. Battle of the Tigers, Battle of the Bayou Bengals, the Death Valley Showcase, whatever it might be. LSU is going to cover this spread. I did not say they're going to win, but 4.5 is enough for me. Give me the Tigers, not the Tigers, 4.5. So LSU plus 4.5. And lastly, Notre Dame, Miami, historical rivalry, Catholics versus convicts. It doesn't have the same luster it used to, but we'll see what happens. Carson Beck, is he trustworthy? No, he's not. Give me Notre Dame minus 2.5, laying nearly a field goal in the game. And with that, let's give you an opportunity to win for the first time with Burt's Bank. Caller number 4 for Brett Favre. As in Brett Favre, I will gut out this injury and possibly still run in the Sioux Falls Marathon 5K. Caller number 4 at 605-362-3776. I got two free regular subs for Jersey Mike's. Any of the three locations in the Sioux Empire, they are yours. If you're my lucky caller number 4, 605-362-3776. Dial me up now. Real awesome gambling advice coming up next. Best bets with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports coming up next as we say so long to the Thursday edition and so long to the week of overtime next right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Don't miss a moment of pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Thursday edition of Overtime. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports set to join us here in a moment. Best bets for your weekend and certainly a ton to get to in the college football world. We got action coming up tonight. We got action all weekend long and some Sunday football to get to. Lee Sterling, you can find him at ParamountSports.com. And certainly a ton of great game action on the way. Let's get you a little college football news while we're waiting on Lee here. ParamountSports.com, Harvard and Yale. Believe it or not, those two teams used to rule college football, and they'll play the game at Fenway Park next season. Second time the rivalry has moved to the historic home of the Boston Red Sox, and the University of North Carolina Tar Heel football program under Bill Belichick's evil empire. They've named their starting quarterback as of this week, Gio Lopez. The former South Alabama quarterback will be the starter in Chapel Hill. Lee Sterling is our guest here on this Thursday edition of Overtime. Lee, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. Excited for the start of college football. This is what we've all been waiting for.
And certainly is true. We got a lot of big games on the docket here. Texas, Ohio State. We got Notre Dame and Miami. A lot to choose from. But let's start in the Battle of the Death Valleys, the Battle of the Tigers, LSU and Clemson. With the P included, Tigers from South Carolina are a 4-point favorite over the Tigers from Louisiana. What do you think about this game that certainly will bring a lot of substance to Saturday afternoon?
Here's what's crazy is they have not faced ever off in the regular season. I was shocked at that. Now, they did play in the 2019 title game which LSU won 42-25. Everyone remembers Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. But, I mean, they're still good at the skill position players. But I think this game's going to be one in the trenches. And LSU lost four offensive linemen to the draft. They lost all four defensive linemen and moved on also. So they're going to have to match up against a Clemson defensive line here that I think is going to have three players drafted either in the first round or two in the first and one in the second next year. They've lost five straight games, opening games, has LSU. Now, Brian Kelly's only been a part of two of those, but they're just 4-8 against the spread on the road under Brian Kelly. And how good is Clemson at home? Just 63-5. I like Clemson here, 37-27.
37-27 for the Clemson Tigers over the LSU Tigers. Let's talk about a game that will surely be a lot less close than that, Michigan and New Mexico. But what's the spread look like? I'm glad you asked. Wolverines are favored by 36.5 points against New Mexico. Lobos have some sweet unis in store this year. They got a new head coach. But is it going to be enough to cover that big number in the Big House against Michigan? What do you think, Lee?
Probably not. Let's be honest here. I mean, you know, when you go through also a coaching change, and they were just starting to get it going last year. They had a quarterback that, you know, was doing some really nice things, running and throwing the football. He leaves. He goes to Utah. So with that coaching change, they're going to have trouble. Michigan, I think, is going to keep their starters in almost the whole game here because they play OU next week. And, you know, you're traveling to Oklahoma, you better bring it. And Bryce Underwood, I know he's a true freshman quarterback, never easy for a kid right out of high school. But fortunately, this is a comfortable, real comfortable starting point. And I think they'll be able to control the line of scrimmage here. And maybe an interception or a punt return sets up for another score. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Michigan 48-7.
48-7 Michigan over New Mexico. Third game today this week for you, Lee. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. Kalen DeBoer, big season ahead of him for Alabama. Starts with Florida State as the opponent. Bama is not. If you're looking into key numbers, they're not a two-touchdown favorite, but they're very close. 13.5 the number. Too high, too low, or just right for the Crimson Tide.
I mean, this is crazy here that you have a team like Alabama and people are talking about it's a disastrous year, losing four games. But I think it was, you know, kind of expected. The turnover that took place on that staff and the roster was big. But one of the best things that Kalen DeBoer did was he said, you know what, I'm going to go get my former offensive coordinator back and Ryan Grubbs back. He coached with him at Washington. He was last year with the Seattle Seahawks. And I think their defense is going to be stout. I think Florida State will be better, but last year they were 2-10. They weren't competitive. What did they do in the offseason? They knew they needed to shore up the quarterback position. They bring in Thomas Castellanos. I mean, I think he's fine. But I think the main reason they signed him was he actually beat them last year and put up 28 points on the defense. And every other game against Division I opponents last year didn't score above 23 points. And then he's talking guff. Mm-hmm. In the offseason here, I just think the public's a little down on Alabama after losing four games and losing that bowl game to Michigan here. I like Bama. Bama big. Roll Tide, Alabama, 38-20.
38-20, Bama over Florida State. Let's move down to the historical rivalry known as Catholics versus Convicts. It's taken on a little bit of a different tune these days. Miami's got Carson Beck, highly experienced quarterback, down year from Georgia. Notre Dame welcomes back a tremendous pedigree from last year. They lost their quarterback. They got Jeremiah Love back in the backfield. We'll see how they all shake out, but I feel like the Irish are the good side on this. You might disagree. Notre Dame is laying 2.5 points in Miami. What do you think of that matchup?
If it rains, and the forecast right now is it's going to rain almost for 48 hours straight. If that is the case, and they're actually playing a college game the night before in the field, then Notre Dame might have the edge here. I mean, because Jeremiah Love is probably the best player on the field. But the place is going to be hopping. It, most times you watch it on TV, there's 20,000-25,000 empty seats, but it's sold out. And we know the last time I was at the game, it was, I mean, absolutely rocking the whole night long. It was like a party. You listen to some of these ex-Notre Dame players talk about it. They said it was probably the toughest place they ever played. And Miami won that game 41-8. Miami's not going to win that easy. But It'll be different on offense. Cam Ward is out. Carson Beck's in. Now, different type of quarterback, but people forget, going into the season last year, there was talk he might be the number one pick. So he is healthy. They're going to have to run the ball more. Top five offensive line. They've got a trio of running backs, and that's how they're probably going to have to do it because the receiving core is young. But I think the biggest change for them will be in the defense. Mario Cristobal brought in Corey Heatherman from Minnesota. I thought one of the best defensive coordinators, and he did a great job with mediocre talent. They were top 20 last year. Now, I think C.J. Carr is going to be really good for the Irish, but do you really want to back a quarterback that's never taken a snap under center in a college game playing at Miami with those fans that are going to be opening up the tailgate area at 8 a.m. the morning for a 7:30 game? They are going to be sauced up here. Wrong team favored. Miami's getting them at the right time, 23-20.
23-20, that's an interesting pick there. Ohio State and Texas, I have a very biased pick here and a biased lean. I just don't like the Buckeyes as a team, a school, anything. So I'm going to roll with Texas. I like the little bit more experience Arch Manning has than Julian Sayin. What say you for Sayin and company in Columbus? That spread is 2 in favor of the home team Buckeyes. What do you think in that game? That's an 11 o'clock start on Saturday. Yep.
So I thought Ohio State was the better team last year, but the couple things that took place in that game. Number one, a lot of people forget that Texas lost their star receiver a few minutes into the game. They were already down their number one guy, so they were without pretty much the whole game. They're 1-2 at that position. And with less than 4 minutes to go in the game, they're at the one-yard line. And what does Steve Sarkisian do after calling, I thought, a masterful game? Tries to go in the shotgun and do a toss sweep to the running back. Might be one of the worst calls and key moments in college football history. They lose 7 yards. The next play, as we all know, Quinn Ewers gets sacked, fumbles the ball. Jack Sawyer takes it to the house. Game, set, match. Now, some things have changed since then. Ohio State's lost 7 of 9, the top 10 tacklers here. And no Jack Sawyer to the rescue here for him. So I think the quarterback edge is huge for Texas here with Arch Manning against Julian Sayin. Also feel that except for almost any position, except for wide receiver, Texas has the edge here. And also on top of that, Ohio State's breaking in 2 new coordinators where Texas has had the same coordinators, Kyle Flood and Pete Kolakowski, for both of 5 years at 40 acres. So I agree with you. I think this Ohio State team is not close to last year, and I don't like them either. Wrong team favorite. Texas outright 24-20.
24-20 there. Lastly, I know there's a lot of negativity around my Wisconsin Badgers. I don't think you're going to call for an outright Miami of Ohio Redhawk upset in Madison coming up. This game is tonight. The spread's 17.5, though. The Badgers are B-A-D, bad, as in Badgers. At least that's the outlook this year. The schedule is insanely tough. Is Luke Fickell's squad going to be able to cover a pretty big number against a formidable MAC school tonight? What do you think?
Well, Miami of Ohio has not fared poorly. I mean, they're 21-21 as a road dog the last 10 years. If they're in the game, they're going to keep their starters in. And I mean, Wisconsin, the quarterback position, now it's Billy Edwards. I mean, when you're cast off from Maryland, kind of shows that you're not great. the running game has been slipping. Few standout receivers. They just don't get much separation here. And they're 2-5 against the spread in non-conference games under Fickell. It's a good thing that Miami Ohio's starting offensive line and skill position group is practically brand new. But with Edwards being new, you know, got a new offensive coordinator. I like Jeff Grimes, but I think it's going to take him a little bit, 2, 3, 4 games to really get it going here, or at least playing better. I think they win the game 27-16, but Miami of Ohio covers.
Miami of Ohio covering again, 27-16. Is that what we got you for there, Lee?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Lastly, Lee, before you go, ParamountSports.com, anything cool in the hopper this week for you?
Yeah, we do. So new thing that we just added this year, it's player props. A lot of people love to bet player props for the NFL and college football. And I've been after someone who I've been tracking for the last 3-4 years, finally has come aboard. And we're going to do a promo there. It's normally $1,500, $597 for the entire year. These are texted out to you at the latest by Saturday and Sunday morning. And you're going to get 3 or 4 college props on a Saturday, 3 to 5 NFL on a Sunday. And that'll take you all the way through the Super Bowl, $597. And this individual who I hired has cashed a couple $100,000 and $200,000 tickets, you know, on these venues like DraftKings and FanDuel. They all know who he is. So you want to get these plays $597 for the season, or you want to try us out from now through the end of September. You're going to get 5 weeks. Use coupon code SAVE100, just $497, and you're going to get generally 9 to 12 of the games that I'm personally betting. So check out all the specials, ParamountSports.com, or you can always reach us here at the office, 800-400-9741.
Only one place to go again, ParamountSports.com. Lee, have a great opening weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next week on the show. Thanks again.
Thanks, Bert. Take care.
All right. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Clemson over LSU. Michigan covering against New Mexico. Bama doing the thing against Florida State. Miami over Notre Dame. I'm contrasting that one. Texas over Ohio State, and Miami of Ohio covering relatively big number in Madison against the Badgers. We take the break. Come back. Actually, we take the break and don't come back. That's the show. That's the week. We'll talk to you not on Friday, not on Monday, but on Tuesday when the next edition of Overtime rolls around. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. Let's go Coup out there in Spearfish tonight, 7 o'clock start time. We'll talk to you Tuesday on the next edition of Overtime right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.